football on off the ball.
I never felt like we were going to this World Cup, but you just wanted a sense of improvement. You wanted a sense of, and what we've got instead, they hammered us tonight, lads. Like, I think this is the worst ever Irish performance ever.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
And I'm delighted to say Sean Torpy joins us on the line this morning. Sean, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Ger. How are you? Yep. Nice to see you.
Pretty good. You guys are famous, obviously, for your hurls, but you're launching a new glove, which is called the Claw. Just Claw, which is a brilliant name, to protect hurlers from high impact. Can you explain to us a bit about how this came about?
Yeah, so it's a big day for hurling, it's a big day for hurlers, and it's a big day for Torpy here. I suppose we're kind of just using our expertise in hurlies to move into another sphere a little bit. And so what we're doing today is launching the Claw, which is a high-performance hurling glove that kind of, it stiffens on impact, but then softens afterwards to allow flexibility. So it kind of means that you can have a balance between comfort, protection and performance, which is a huge thing for hurlers, because I suppose traditionally the reason that many hurlers don't wear a hurling glove is because the hand is so important to the player, to how it feels with the hurley, to also the interaction with the ball. So there's a huge number of factors at play there that we've kind of been looking into for the last 5 or 6 years in this project. And today we're happy to launch the glove to the marketplace and to see what players think of it.
So, if memory serves, there was a glove in the 90s. DJ.
Yeah, Ashgard. Ashgard.
And that disappeared. People stopped wearing that.
Yeah. Well, look, there are some players that are wearing gloves. We're not saying that, but from our research, we found that over 90% of players don't wear gloves at an adult level. And obviously, kids start out wearing gloves, but hurling is a very, very technical sport. You need to have a huge dexterity to manage the hurley and the ball. And especially if you're not from a traditional hurling background, you know, that might come harder to you than others. Getting impacts at a young age probably was part of the nature of me growing up, based on my family history and stuff like that. But not every hurling family comes from that background. And we want to see more players getting a chance to stay with the sport. We would find that, you know, if players get impacts at an early age, maybe anywhere between 10 and 15, sometimes they can move on to other sports that are less impactful on the hand. And, you know, that's where we see that there might be an opportunity here, A, to build the number of players playing the sport. And then also at an elite level, we would find that, you know, many players are, you know, trying to stay on the pitch for as much as possible now. And performance on Sunday is king. Tuesday night of training is fine. We can get through it, but we're doing things to maintain our risk of injury. And so what we would find at a higher level, we see this glove being used in training environment at an intercounty and senior club level to ensure that my hand is ready for Sunday. Because what we find now with the games, the way coaching has gone, is a lot of small-sided games are taking place at training. So outfield players are now essentially goalkeepers, in our opinion, in terms of they have to catch the ball flying through the air at 20 metres and, you know, don't drop it, because, you know, possession is king. And so you don't get all the hurley controls you used to in the past. And so the hands are suffering. And in two ways, one at the back of the hand, where obviously the impact of a player's hurley can come in contact. But secondly, at the very front of the hand here, there's a quite a big instance of ball bruise happening in, you know, at all levels of the sport, because you train on a Tuesday night, catch 200 balls and everything looks good, and then on Sunday your hand is swollen in this area because the ball has been, you know, especially at pre-season, we find, and we've kind of, our research has told us that.
Were you able to trial this through different age groups on? I mean, did you find maybe there was probably a different reaction from the older generation, or did the younger maybe embrace it a little bit more? How did you find that process?
Yeah, like I would say, we've been selling it quietly a little bit here in our store for the last 2 weeks to gain more, I suppose, feedback from players as well. And yeah, we find that younger players are very much open to it. And what we want to do is build that culture from a younger age into the sport. And but also from our bamboo hurling knowledge, that was taken into training at an elite level initially. Asher will give it a go. And suddenly my performance was okay in training. I might actually give that a go on a Saturday or a Sunday in the games. So, you know, we see that there's the training ground is going to be the proving ground for this product.
We'll talk about the hurling in a moment, but can you, like, it's interesting, I didn't realise that it was going to be on both sides, so the glove will actually have something that cushions the palm as well.
Yeah, but it also has an open palm feel. I actually have one here.
Yeah.
And so you can see that it has an open palm feel. So we didn't want to disturb the connection between the skin and the hurley. And we've worked with a number of different partners in this product. It's quite a highly developed product in terms of product design. So first partner is a guy called Daniel Hart. He's a hand specialist, a hand clinician based in the Southern Healthcare Trust in Armagh. And what we find as well is that basically he has been doing a lot of peer-reviewed papers on the incidences of hand injuries over the years. And myself and Daniel came in contact a number of years ago, and we wondered, was there something we could work on together? And I suppose we've been guided by him in terms of where to put the protection in the product based on hand injuries. And then we worked with design partners. They're a design agency in Bray, well-known design agency. They came up with some level of concepts for us to look towards as well. And then also we've done some testing in the Sports Technology Institute in Loughborough University, which has been our partner in sports research. I have a degree in sports technology from Loughborough University. So I suppose they're world renowned at testing products and testing protective materials.
And sorry, that's the inside of the palm. On the back there, you can see there's kind of ridges. Can you talk to us a bit about the science on that?
Yeah, so basically it follows where the main parts of I suppose injury incidence is. But sorry, this way the camera. Yeah. This way, yeah. So also here is a very common area in these two points here. But you see the rays. So we've kind of minimized the weight that the protection allows in the product as well. So players don't feel like they have this on their hand. It's a second skin essentially to the player, because not all players are, you know, impacts keep players off the field that are broken fingers, for instance, or broken hands. You know, they're obviously the major ones we hear about, but nobody tells the manager on a Tuesday night, geez, my hand, I can barely open it here, it's not broken, I'm not going to go to the hospital with it, but I'm still not okay to train here. No one says that, really. You know, and you know, I think players are very ultra competitive at the end of the day. You know, if I don't train, I don't play, it would be the attitude for majority of players. So even if I'm playing through injury, we do it, and so that's the, I suppose, the psychology of it that maybe we think we can bring to the elite level, but then also give that confidence to younger players that they can train all day and still not feel sore in terms of catching the ball. We would find that area, again, the skin is very tender there at a young age when you're not used to that, you know. In adult players, we would find, okay, pre-season, it is sore. But then it kind of, as you get into the year, it kind of can dissipate and the body can get used to that, you know.
Yeah, it needs conditioning. And sure, it's all the office workers these days. Back in the day when it was the farmers and the plumbers, they were all grand. It's the office workers, the accountants, the management consultants. They're the ones who need these gloves.
Everybody sure has soft hands playing hurling now.
How influenced were you from Batman Begins? I mean, that looks like something Christian Bale would have developed when he was creating his suit.
It was a coincidence that our logo of our brand followed that. So yeah, it was it's a coincidence that way. So yeah, I'm happy with it.
Talk to us about the success of the hurl, will you? Because obviously I haven't spoken to you before about this, but I know you've been on, and I'm just fascinated how the ash dieback is something that is going to have a long-term repercussion on our national sport. And at the same time, you've been developing something that might be able to alleviate the difficulty for the sport itself. Because, like, there'd be no sport without the hurls.
Yeah. So look, we've been at this a long time. You know, 2016 is when we first started really researching a bamboo hurley. We were researching other materials before then. We've really seen the impact of ash dieback for a long time because we make an awful lot of hurleys. You know, the business here has been making great ash hurleys for years and years. And, you know, I suppose for us, it was sad to see the impact of ash dieback on ash, definitely. And, you know, even to this day, I would still feel very emotional about some ash hurlies I come across that they get into the right hands, I suppose. But you know, we can't live in the with our heads in the sand either. We have to move forward. And thankfully, over the years, when we launched the bamboo hurling in 2020, I suppose it was something new at the time, and ash dieback wasn't as massive an issue as it is today. But thankfully, players took it on board, and you know, we feel really happy with how it's in the marketplace at the moment, and we're selling thousands of bamboo hurlies every year now. And you know, that's just brilliant, because players are coming to us and they're going, well, we can get a greater, you know, we talk about other sports like golf and baseball and professional sports, but hurlers at the end of the day, and especially at the top level, they're preparing at such levels now that, you know, they are essentially a professional by nature in terms of preparation. And if they can get greater confidence from knowing the same hurley is going to come into them every time, and that's a couple of things that are happening there. We've invested a huge amount in high technology manufacture, so we you know, we can really be very accurate all of the time with our products. And that's something that I really am passionate about in our business, is that, you know, the player, everybody gets a chance to play. If somebody, so nine of the Clare winning, All-Ireland winning team in 2024 actually took to the field with a bamboo hurley. So that's, you know, over half an All-Ireland winning team, that hasn't been done in the history of the GAA, over half of an All-Ireland winning team using a non-ash hurley. You know, that's quite unique and something we're obviously very proud of. And, you know, we thought it has come sooner than we thought it would take longer, being honest, you know what I mean? But players are, you know, what started out as a can we get something to combat ash dieback is now kind of morphing into, well, I actually want to use that bamboo hurley compared to ash, because players know the same product is coming at them all the time. If I break a hurley mid-game, the next one is coming into me all the time. And that's why you have players like John Conlon, who has changed in the last 2 or 3 years. No influence from myself. I have great ash for him if he wants ash, but he chooses bamboo because he knows that he's getting the same product over and over again. And in percentage terms, you know, if you can get 1 or 2, 3% extra by being more consistent, I think that's what modern, at least elite sport, is about now, you know?
This might be a very stupid question, but I've seen hurls be made from ash, and I understand the grain and all that kind of stuff. I look at bamboo canes and I think they're much smaller. How did you get them to all be the same?
So bamboo has to be broken down into small strips, and then them strips have to be brought back together again into a uniformed kind of material that we have patented to make the hurley, right? And then from there, then we have to really high precision make the product within our factory. Bamboo is a great material. It's very strong. But what I noticed in about 2018, I was crafting some by hand, and I thought this thing would be easy a little bit when I was preparing prototypes. But then, you know, if I make a certain amount of hurleys, my consistency changes. I, you know, if I wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll make a great hurley. If I'm doing it at 4 o'clock in the day, I mightn't. And the differences between ash and bamboo is that there's a certain amount of variability with ash that you can get away with there. You can't get away with it with bamboo, in my opinion. And so, you know, in order for you to make the hurley consistently over time, we've had to, as I say, invest in engineers. So we actually don't take a whole lot of hand tools to our hurleys anymore. And that's not because we don't love hand tools. It's just a necessity of making a product that we know players want to perform with all of the time. And so we've got three sports engineers working in our facility at the moment. We have a number of highly qualified production specialists. And, you know, I think it's just good to see players embracing new ways of doing things. This could be the craft of the future, what we're doing now, you know. So it's all relative to a point in time, I suppose. Everybody wants to do things as we've always done them, but unfortunately, the world has to change and move on. And we're delighted where it's at the moment, thank God.
So you're able to get loads of bits of bamboo to coalesce together through engineering, and that gives you the consistency and the strength and the durability that mimics or is better than ash.
Yeah, if you don't make a bamboo hurley very accurately, it will break relatively quickly. And that's why we offer a warranty on our hurleys for up to a month, because we just want to make sure we're doing everything correctly and make sure that we're with the player on that. Obviously, with ash, it's a little bit different. You know, every tree is different. From one tree to the next, you will get different performance characteristics because the soil will come into play, the weather of the tree growing up, how much ash dieback it has now is probably also another thing. So, you know, it's it's been great, and we feel, you know, that look, we're lucky to players have embraced it, but also we're delighted that, you know, we're at a stage where the sport of hurling can continue into the future, because I think without the bamboo hurley in the marketplace right now, there would be a lot of other conversations being had.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, what, where, how will the sport continue if we don't have hurls? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the current situation on the ash dieback? I mean, it hasn't changed much in a decade, I presume, or has it worsened?
Well, it's probably worsening year on year at this point. And, you know, we would find that we're very much more selective on what ash we purchase. And even at that, you can be very selective and still find that, you know, up to 20 to 30, maybe 40% of your stock is, you know, not useful to making high quality hurleys. And so, for instance, even with what we've done with the bamboo is we prioritize our ash for 30-inch ash hurleys upwards for mainly the adult youth market, upper youth and adult market, because for kids hurleys, we actually feel we can make a better quality hurley for kids because it can be lighter in bamboo the way we manufacture it. So they're going to grasp the game quicker, and obviously then they don't break as many hurleys. So it's a win-win for the parent and for the kid and for everybody, really.
If anybody wants to get their hands on a claw, how do they get one?
So torpy.ie, and you can follow us on all our socials, Instagram and TikTok and everywhere today, and we'll have our launch. We have our launch today. The other thing I would say was we have a new design of, so it's kind of a double header as well. Next week, we're launching a new design of Bamboo Hurley as well. So it's called Bamboo Sleek. We already have Bamboo Speed and Bamboo Strike in the marketplace, and Bamboo Sleek is kind of a little bit more towards players who like a slender second hand in the hurley, so that they get better control with the hurley. And so we see it being a very popular product for maybe camogie players and younger players as well.
Sean, recently there's been a trend, particularly the Limerick lads have had the shortest hurls we've seen, like really short, kind of, you know, schoolboy hurls in many cases. Are you seeing that trend? Have other people copied that?
It's a little bit over exaggerated, I would say, from my experience. Okay, in terms of, yeah, you'll see players using 31 inch, but that would be okay, in my opinion, for certain players of a specific height. But there's definitely no 28s and 29s being used, in my opinion, that I've seen anyway. That's what some, you know, Chinese whispers can go forth afterwards as well. But 31 inch hurleys is what has been used a lot in, and 32 inch and 33 inch. Definitely the 34 and 35 is dwindling. The 35 is nearly gone. Peter Duggan is the last man standing there potentially. But yeah, so it's it is. Look, that's the nature of sport. Sport is changing all the time, and you know, it's up to us as manufacturers and to work with players to adapt and ensure once the player is happy, I'm happy. That's the way I work.
Sean, that's great stuff. Really interesting. Congratulations again, and best of luck with the launch.
Thanks, Ger. Thanks very much, guys. Bye.
It's Sean Torpy there, torpy.ie, if you want any more information on that. It's really interesting, and I don't know if, like, the smaller hurls are about speed and precision and accuracy and pace. All the things that's missing from the football team.
Could you suggest that a shorter hurl means you might evade that tackle? Because it's talking fractions.
Exactly. Yeah. It is totally that. And it's less heavy. You are carrying less weight. It's like in racing, you know, amount of weight. I suppose all I'm trying to say here is that sport changes, our characteristics change. We can build a new future together, Stuart.
Very true, very true. I could actually hear the Hans Zimmer music going when I saw that glove, you know, the do 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 when he was built. Do you remember the scene? Christian Bale, he's creating the Batman suit in Batman Begins.
I've watched it relatively recently.
He creates the cape and he runs the electric current through the gloves, and I have a feeling Christian Bale could be wearing that glove sooner rather than later.
They should send him one, just see if he sticks it on.
One, yeah.
He probably would. Send him the hurl as well.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Football on Off the Ball.
I never felt like we were going to this World Cup, but you just wanted a sense of improvement. You wanted a sense of, and what we've got instead, they hammered us tonight. That's like, I think this is the worst ever Irish performance ever.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.